today's daf is Ksuvah Daf Nun Aleph. We are holding on the top of Daf Nun Aleph Amud Aleph for two lines from the top. So we're going to first continue the discussion whether we collect mizonos for yisomos from karka or even from metaltalim, and that conversation is going to take us to the Mishnah. Then the Mishnah is going to discuss the various chiyuvim that a husband has in the Ksuba, whether they are tonight based in or they need to be explicit. When and what he can beg out of? Is there anything that he can say? He's not interested in being mechayiv himself, and do we assume no? This is part of the deal that this is a tonight based in, and this is something that he's obligated to do, whether he likes it or not. And then the Gemara is going to discuss for a while who the author of our Mishnah might be. Is our Mishnah going like Shitas Rabbi Meir or Shitas Rabbi Yehuda? There are parts of the Mishnah that indicate both ways, and that's why it's a complicated issue. We get into the issue of whether Ksuba is Tanai Beis Din and whether Achrayus Ta'u Sofer. Now, both of those are subjects of Machlokas, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, and the Mishnah seems to point in both directions on that issue. And then, at the end of the daf, the last major discussion the Gemara is going to have is about Tchilasa Ba'ones V'Sofa Baratzon. What if a woman is Rachman Letzlan Ne'ensa, but at the end, she's beratzon, or we think possibly she might be beratzon at the end. Does that aser her lebaila, or do we say that no, since the maisa started by ones, she's going to be mutaris lebaila, it has a din of ones. So let's begin at the two dots. Hahu yasum v'yisoma dasa l'kameh de Rava. There was a yasum and a yisoma that came to Rava, and the yisoma was interested in getting support. Amar lehu Rava, helu liyasum b'shvil yisoma. So Rava said we should give the yasum on account of the Yisom, meaning give the Yisom some extra for the Yisom as well, so that he could help support his sister. Amar le Rabban le Rava, v'amaru d'amar mi mekarkoi v'lo mi metalteli, bein le mezone, bein le ksuba, bein le parnasa. So the Rabban said to Rava, wait a second, aren't you the one that holds that we only collect from karka and not from metaltelin, for mizonos of the daughters, or for the ksuba of the wife, or for the nedunya of the daughters? So how can you take the metaltelim, give the yisomim, so that they can then give it to the yisomos? Isn't that collecting from metaltelim? What does it help to add a middleman in the process by giving the yisomim a little extra so that they can give it to the yisomos? Amar lahu ilu ratzah shivchol shamcho milo yavinanlay. The yasom, again, we're talking about ketanim over here. So normally the yasom would just have all the money and he'd have an achrayus to support his sister. But over here we're talking about there's an apotropos who's in charge of the estate and they're giving the yasomim whatever they need. They give the yasom whatever he needs, but yasomos aren't supposed to get anything other than karka. So Rav explained, yes, but if the yasom says that he needs a shivcha l'shamsho, he needs someone to take care of the house, he needs someone to help him out, he needs someone to serve, he needs some help around the house, so that would be a reasonable expense that the apotropos would be allowed to release such funds to supply for that. So why not just have his sister do those tasks, and then his sister will be able to get the mizonos as well? So over here, especially since she's related as well, she's also his sister, so she can serve him and be his sister and get supported from that as well. And that's why we're going to give the Yasom a little bit of extra money. Yamshel Shlomo, he explains that based on this Gemara, that even if the girl is a Bogeres, she can get Mizonos from the Nichsei Yisomim Ketanim, because she can also be Mishamesh. She can also help out, meaning even though the Takan of Mizonos is only for girls up until they reach the age of Bogeres, and once they reach the age of Bogeres, they no longer get Mizonos. But what Rav is saying over here is they're not collecting this Bitoras Mizonos. They're collecting this Bitoras, they're an employee of their brother. And that could apply to a Bogeres as well. It's Lav Dafka Ketana anymore at this point. Tan Rabbanan, the Bryce says as follows, Echan Uchasim Sheish Len Achrayis, Vechan Uchasim Shein Len Achrayis, whether we're dealing with Karko or Metaltalin, Motziin Lemazun Isha, Ulabanos Diver Rebbe. Rebbe holds, we take it from the Yisomim, Karko from the Yisomim, or Metaltalin from the Yisomim, to supply the Mizonos of the wife and for the daughters. Rebbe Shimon Lazar Omer, Nechasim Sheish Len Achrayis, Motziin Lebanos Min Abanim. When it comes to Nechasim Sheish Len Achrayis, when it comes to Karka, so we're going to take away from the sons to give to the daughters to support them, ulabanos min abanos, or we'll take away from the older daughters who get the Yerusha to support the younger daughters who have not received the Yerusha, who just need mizonos at this point, ulabanim min abanim, and we're going to take away from the older banim to support the younger banim to make sure that they get a portion as well, ulabanim min abanos, and we're also going to take away from the older daughters to provide the younger banim with what they need. Binechasim Rubin. That's assuming that there's enough nechasim to go around. Avalolu banim min abanos binechasim muatim. But we're not going to give the banim to take away from the banos when there's nechasim muatim, when there's not enough to give mizonos for the daughters. So then the daughters have to come first. Yabanos yizonu v'abanim yishalu al psachim. That's generally the rule. If there's not enough to support the daughters and give to the sons are going to have to fend for themselves. The daughters are not going to be made to suffer the indignity of begging for food. But nechasim she'ein len achrayus, when it comes to metaltalin, which is our discussion, motzim lebanim min abanim, ulebanos min abanos, ulebanim min abanos, avalo lebanos min abanim. The banim do not have to give metaltalin to the banos. We do not take anything away from the sons in order to give the daughters mizonos when it comes to metaltalin. So there you have a machlokas over here, exactly this discussion. Do we give banos metaltalin from the estate? Is that something that they can collect their mizonos from? And avagav the kaimel and alacha kerebi mechavero. Even though generally speaking, we pass them like Rebbe mechavero. Whenever Rebbe argues on another shita of a yachid, we always pass them like Rebbe. Over here, we're going to pass like Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Damarava hilchsa mimekarkoi velomi metalteli bein l'ksuba bein l'mizoni bein l'parnasa. We collect from karka, but not from metaltelin. Whether it comes to collecting for the ksuba payment, whether it comes to collecting for mizonos, or whether it comes to collecting in adunya for the daughters, only from karka, not from metaltelin. Now the Gemara is going to say later on that the din of collecting for parnasa for the Nadunya is it can be divided as follows: that when you know that what the father wants to do, so we take the parnasa minichse yisomim based on the dasa av. That's what we mentioned already yesterday. That if we know that the father was a generous man and he liked to provide a lot for his daughters as a nadunya, so then the daughter gets a big nadunya. If you know he wasn't such a generous man in terms of giving nadunya to his daughter, we provide for a smaller nadunya. Now, if we don't know, the halach is going to be, the Gemara is going to say on Daf Samaches, if we don't know what the father would have done, then the girl gets Asiris HaNechasim. She gets 1/10 of the Nechasim as a Nedunya. That's, I guess, the average, or that's what we generally would guess if we don't know any better. So when it comes to collecting for Parnasa, over here it says we take only from Karka. So the Rishonim discuss, what are we talking about over here? What's the case? Are we talking about a case where we do know what the father would give, where we don't know what the father would give? So Tosos in Dibur Maskelim Karkai explains, Tosos learns that we're talking over here where we're not going metaltalin is only when we don't know what the father would have done. But so we're giving 10%, and that 10% has to come from the karka. But if we know what the das ha'av is, we know what the father would have done. So if you know that he would give me metaltalin as well, then you would give me metaltalin. Meaning, when the Gemara talks about going based on the umdana av, going based on the estimation of what the father would do, that is not only about how much to give, it's also from what to give. It's not only about whether you give 10%, 20%, or it's also about do you give only from karka or do you give from metaltalin as well. That is the shita of Tosos. However, the Gaonim, the Shiltos Rav Chai Gaon, points out that disagrees with Tosos, and they hold that even in the cases where we're collecting the parnasa lefi umdun das ha'av, based on what we assume the father would do, and not based on asiris and nechasim, even then Ravu would say you only collect from karka and you do not collect from metaltalin. So that is a fundamental machlokas rishonim about this halach of mimikarki v'lo mimetaltalin. New Mishnah now, middle of Amud Aleph. Lo kasal ksuba. Let's say the husband never actually wrote a ksuba. Still besulag of masayim almanamana mneishu tenei beizdin. Sula is still going to be entitled to 200, and the Almana is still entitled to 100, because even if he didn't actually write the Ksuba, it's a Tanai Bezdin. Kasavla Sada Shava Mana Tachas Masayim Zuz. If he writes for her a field that's worth 100 in place of the Masayim Zuz, meaning he says, I am being Achray, this field is Achray to pay the Ksuba, but the field is only worth 100, and it's a Besula, so she should really be entitled to Masayim Zuz. V'lo kasavla, and he doesn't then write into the ksuba the phrase that belongs there, that called nechasim de'isli achron l'ksuba sayich, that all the chasim that I have should be achron for the ksuba. Still, even though he didn't write that, chayiv, he's still chayiv to pay the full masayim, and all of his nechasim are meshuba to pay that masayim. Shu tanai beisin, because that's all part of the tanai beisin. Right? What are we writing in the ksuba? Filim miglim adal kaspay, I'll pay with anything, even the shirt off my back, I'll pay with. So even if he doesn't write that he's being meshabed all of his nechasim to the ksuba, his nechasim are all meshuba to the ksuba. So a lot of the rishonim, the ra'ah, the ritva, the rishonim explain that what's going on over here. He writes her a sada shavamana. What was he thinking when he only wrote one field that's worth 100 zuz? So the rishonim explain that he wanted to give only 100 zuz for the ksuba, but he doesn't mention that in the ksuba. He doesn't say that it's only 100 zuz. He just says v'derech remiza, that I'm only being meshabed this field, and it happens to be this field is only worth 100 zuz. So Mela, he plans on only giving her a ksuba of mana, and the Mishnah says his plan is foiled, it doesn't work, you still have to give masayim. Now according to that, you have to explain, why does the Mishnah say specifically that he designated karka? Why not just say that if a guy writes a ksubas mana for his wife and she's really entitled to masayim, too bad, she's supposed to get masayim? Why does he have to make a case where he designates a field and the field is only worth the mana? So the Rishonim explain, because it's a chiddush to say the case of the field, that we have a din called eino na'a b'karkaos, that karka, even though they're a dinim of ona'a, if I overcharge you for something, you could be mevatel the whole mekach. If I overcharge by enough, by more than a sixth, you could say the whole mekach is batel and the whole transaction is not valid. But by karka, eino na'a b'karkaos. So if I sell you a field that's really worth $100 for $200, you can't be mevatel the mekach, because to me it may have been worth $200. Maybe it had, if I see the potential in the field, real estate is there forever, for whatever reason, whatever the svara is, eino na'a b'karkaos. So one might have argued that if a guy were to write in the ksuba, I'm only being meshabed mana to you, even though it should really be masayim, so that he has no right to do. It's a tanai bezin, it's beferish against the tanai bezin that he's supposed to give her masayim. But if he's designating karka, who's to say the karka is only worth mana? The karka is eino na'a b'karkaos. And the karka may be worth masayim. So that's what the Mishnah is being mechadesh, that no, even though karka doesn't have ona'a, but there is shivoy, there is value to karka, and we do evaluate karkaos, there is shivoy damim, when a person is chayiv money to someone else, and he has to pay him back, and he's going to pay him back from land, based and evaluates what the land is worth. We don't just give a tiny inch of land and say, ain't ona'a karkaos, and therefore the whole land goes over. No, it's a din of ona'a, of transactions that ain't ona'a l'karkaos. But it's not a din in shivoy damim. There certainly is shivoy damim l'karkaos. Vayter in the Mishnah, lo kasavla, if he didn't say to her, im tishtavai aparkinech vosvinach li l'insu, if he didn't add into the ksuba that if you ever get captured, I will redeem you from captivity and bring you back into my home as a wife, or b'kohenes, if the guy happens to be a kohen, he didn't write adrinech l'medinasech, he wouldn't be able to write that if she's held captive, he would take her back, because a kohen is not allowed to take her back. He would have to write, if you're ever held captive, I will redeem you from captivity and bring you safely back to your father's house, bring you safely back to your childhood home. Chayiv, he's still chayiv to do it, whether he writes that or not. If she's held captive, he has to take her, he has to set her free. Shehu tanai beizin, because that too is a tanai beizin. Nishves chayiv luftosa, and like we just said, if she is held captive, he has to be poed to her. But v'im amar, if the guy wants to say, you know what, instead of being poed to her, why don't I just divorce her, then she won't be my problem anymore. So hare gito ksuba sovetif desatzma, here's a ksuba, let her deal with it on her own. Eino rasha, he's not allowed to do that. He has to see it through, redeem her from captivity, and then if he wants to get divorced, because then they can do whatever they want afterwards, but he has to redeem her from captivity. The achronim have a diyun over here, according to those shittos and rishonim, that in a case where a girl gets sick because of her own pshia, because of her own negligence, the husband is not chayiv in refua, even though that's also one of the things the husband is obligated in ksuba, is to pay for her refua. But what if she's negligent, and that's why she needs needs refuah because of her own negligence. So there are shitos from Yishon, then he does not have to pay for refuah. What would be the din if she was nishves machmas pshia? Do we say that since it was because of her own pshia, her own negligence, he's not chayiv to be poda her either? Or do we say no, that for some reason there we can distinguish between when she gets sick based on her own negligence and when she gets captured based on her own negligence? So the Beis Meir writes that even if you hold by the din refuah, that if she's posheya, he doesn't have to redeem her, but that's only by refuah. But by pidyon, since the whole reason that he's mechuyiv liftosa is because shelo tesarif beina akum, we don't want her to be mixed in with the goyim, and she's going to be talamin maaseim, she's going to learn how to behave like a goy and how to live like a goy. So therefore, there's no chilik in terms of how she ended up in captivity, even if it was machmas pshia, we're still going to redeem her. However, the Beis Yaakov and the Ksav Sofer suggest they disagree, and they hold that if she's nishves machmas pshia, he's not chayev to be poder. It's just like the refuah. There would be no difference if it's her fault. So you can't make that mutal on the husband to take care of. So the Mishnah concludes, therefore, laksa chayv l'raposa. On a similar note, if a girl gets sick, if a woman gets sick, the husband is a chayv to pay for her refuah. Amar haregitu ksubasa terape esatzma. Let's say he says, I don't care, here's her get, here's her ksuba, let her deal with it herself. Rashai. So he's allowed to do that. That's no problem. He's allowed to say that he's not going to pay for a refuah, let her deal with the refuah on her own. There is a machlokas rishonim. Whether what the nature of the din refuah is, that the husband has to be merape the wife. Rashi over here writes that the chiv of the baal to provide for refuah is midin mezonos. It's part of the mezonos. And Rashi explains later on tomorrow's daf that since refuah and mezonos are both provide her sustenance, they give her chiyus, they give her the ability to live, so they're the same din. Refuah and mezonos are both life. They're both just how to make sure that she's able to survive. The Ritva, however, says that no, mezonos is a chiyuv to provide daily, regular needs. Refuah is a chiyuv bifnei atzma. That's a totally separate chiyuv from mezonos. And the reason for the chiyuv, the Ritva explains, is because it's she's mechuyevis l'shamsho. So in exchange for her being mishamishim, he has to provide for refuah. So the Acharon explains, what's a nafkamina, whether it's a din mezonos or it's a din refuah, or it's a separate din refuah that has nothing to do with mezonos. So nafkamina would be very simple. What if a girl says, eni mezonos ve'eni osa? We know mezonos, when she gets mezonos because she provides the husband with maisi adayim. Let's say she has a lot more maisi adayim than the mezonos he's ever going to provide. So she says, you know what? I don't need your mezonos. Eniosa, I'm not giving you my maisi adayim. I'm keeping my maisi adayim. So she's entitled to say that. The whole takanas mezonos was for her own benefit. She's entitled to say that. So the question is, in that situation that she says that, would the husband still be chayiv in refuah? According to Rashi, no, because the husband is no longer chayiv in mezonos. According to the Ritva, yes, because the husband is chayiv in refuah, even if he's not chayiv in the mezonos. So that would be enough kamina between the two shitos. The Rishonim also over here quote bring that the whole chiyuv of a husband to be merape the wife is only when she was, like we just mentioned before, when she's not when she doesn't get sick machmas pshia. This is what the Shittim Kovetzis quotes in the name of the Ritva. But if it's because of her own negligence, he doesn't have to worry about being merape her. Now the Achronim discuss whether the Rambam holds that way as well. Some of the Achronim say that even in a case where she's Nechla Machmas Pshia, the Rambam would say that he's Chayev to be Merapeh her. And the source is from the din of a Poel who gets sick in his Avoda. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Shutfin Parachas that there's a Chilik in terms of how he got sick. If he's Chala Machmas Pshia, he gets sick because of Pshia, versus if he's Chala Machmas Ones. So by the Chiv of a husband's Chiv to provide for wife, the Rambam doesn't make any such chilukim. So why doesn't the Rambam make chilukim? So that's the deek the Achronim make. It's not anything the Rambam says about the chiv to provide refuah for a wife that leads us to believe that the Rambam argues with the Ritva and holds that there's no difference between Pshia versus getting sick for other reasons. It's the fact that the Rambam says it when it comes to a Poel, and he makes such a distinction, but when it comes to an Isha, he doesn't make a distinction. In general, whenever the Rambam says something in one place and doesn't say elsewhere, you're always going to find the Machlokas Achronim in terms of what to do with such a Rambam. Some of the Achronim will always say, oh, he says it there, you could be Medayik, he doesn't say it here, the Din must not apply here. Whereas other Achronim say, the Rambam knew he was writing a big Sefer, and that everyone was expected to read the entire Sefer, and he's not going to write the same detail in every place. So if he says it over there, you're supposed to know, you're supposed to figure that you should apply it over here. So you have to use Seichel, try to figure out when the Rambam meant one way, when the Rambam meant the other way. When did the Rambam mean to apply it on her own? When did the Rambam not mean to apply it on her own? There is a Medrash that the Rishonim quote, the Ravid already quotes, this is Sifri, by Neishas Yefas Toar. It says in the Torah that if the guy is not interested in the Yeshus Yifas Tawar later on, so he could divorce her. And the Sifri says, but if she's a Chola, he has to wait until she gets a Refuah, and then he could divorce her, but not before she gets a Refuah. So the Ravid says, wow, if the Torah says that about an Yeshus Yifas Tawar, where we're not so excited about this marriage to begin with, the Gemara says that the guy takes an Yeshus Yifas Tawar, it's going to ultimately lead to Ben Sora Moro, all sorts of terrible things. So that's not a marriage that we're very excited about. And still, you have to keep her until the refuah is over, until you merape. You can't divorce her while she's sick. So says the Rav, it sounds like you can't divorce a sick lady and just say, let her take care of her own refuah. Against our Mishnah. So that's a question all the Rishonim deal with. What do you do with the Sifri against our Mishnah? But the Rambam writes that if the husband sees, the Rambam in Hilchos Ishus Perek Yudal, when he describes a wife who's sick and the husband wanting to get out of dealing with it, so the Rambam writes, when he quotes the halacha of our Mishnah, that if he wants to just give her a get and ksuba and say, let her deal with it herself, the Rambam adds in an important detail. The Rambam says that if the husband sees that her illness is going to be an extended illness, a choli aruch, that's going to take a long time, then he's allowed to give her the ksuba and the get and say, let her deal with the refuah on her own. And we're shomen lebal, we listen to the husband. So the achronim try to figure out, is that dafkor, is the Rambam just giving most common case? Most common case where he would want to do that is if I can't live like this. He can't live with her being ill all the time. But if it's just going to be a short-term illness, she catches a cold, it's unlikely that he's going to want to divorce her and give her again an ksuba. So, or does the Rambam saying dafka, that's the only time he's allowed to do it? What would be the source that's the only time that he's allowed to do it? So the Bach says the source would be from the Sifri, because the Sifri says that by Yifas Tohar, you're not allowed to just divorce her, wait till she gets better. So it sounds like you're not allowed to divorce a woman who's sick, you have to wait till she gets better. But what do you do with our Mishnah? So that must be how the Rambam answers the stira between the Sifri and the Mishnah. The Rambam will say our Mishnah is talking about where it's an extended illness. An extended illness, then he's allowed to do it. So that must be how the Rambam deals with our Mishnah. That's how the Bach explains the Shitas HaRambam. Okay. Weiter in the Gemara. So says Gemara, money, who's the author of our Mishnah? Rabbi Meir. Our Mishnah must be assuming like Shitas Rabbi Meir. The Amar Kalapochus Besulim Misayim Alana Mimana Harezu Bilas Nusra. Meir is of the opinion that if you give a Besula any less than 200 and Almana any less than 100, it's a Bilas Nus, that it has to be understood that they're getting the full amount. Here, Rabbi Yehuda, Ha'amar Rotsa Kosev Besula Shtar Shal Misayim V'Kosev Es Kabalti Machmana. According to Rabbi Yehuda, you could, as long as she agrees, you can do whatever you want. As long as she agrees that the Ksuba is going to be less money, so let it be less money. He could write a Ksuba Misayim and she could write this Kabalti Machmana. Even though she never got 100, it's not true. She's just her way of saying that I'm happy getting half the money. And the same with an almana, she could also split the money. Ema Seifa, but then the Seifa goes on to say, so the Reisha sounds like Rameir, that it's all a Tanai Bezdin, that the Ksuba is an absolute. He cannot give her any less than the Masayim. But then Ema Seifa, you go on in the Mishnah, you read the Seifa, Kasavla Sada Shava Mana Tachas Masayim Zuz, Velo Kasavla Kol Nechasim Disli Achron Nuksuba Sayich, Chayiv Shu Tanai Bezdin. Seifa goes on to say that Achrayus Nechasim is assumed in the Ksuba. Even if the husband didn't write Achrayus Nechasim, the fact that all of his properties are meshuba to the ksuba, that is built into every ksuba. Well, that's Asan Rabbi Yehuda, Damar Chayus Tal Sofer, who that seems to be going only like Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, that Achrayus is Tal Sofer. Sofer, Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that even if you don't write into a shtar that all of your nechassim are achrayi to pay off that debt, but nevertheless it's still considered to be built into the shtar. So that part of our Mishnah assumes like Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Meir disagrees with that. Now in terms of the chiyuv achrayi, Shittu Mekbetzes quotes Shittu Rishonim that hold that the mandi yomer that achrayi is tol sofer is only where he's mechayiv himself b'mefurash in the achrayus at the time of the alvo or the time of the mekach, but he just never wrote it in the ksuba, in the shtar. So when we have a halva or a mecher, what does Rabbi Yehuda mean when he says achrayis tol sofer by a regular loan, by a regular sale? That's if he said I'm making all my nechassim achrayi, but the sofer never wrote it into the shtar. So do we assume that, and that's the machloka, said the Rishon, do we assume that the reason the sofer didn't write it into the shtar is because by the time they wrote the shtar, he already told the sofer, you know what, I changed my mind and I don't want the achrayis? Or do we assume, no, that we know that he was mekabel achrayus, so must be, we know he's meshabit all of his nechassim to pay this off, so must be that the sofer just made a mistake, that it's a tall sofer, but really there is supposed to be achrayus. That's how some of the Rishonim explain, that the whole din of achrayus tall sofer only works with the assumption that he was ready meshabit himself in the achrayus. But if he wasn't meshabit himself in the achrayus, then there would be no achrayus tall sofer. But then the Shittu Mekbetzes, after quoting this, says that it's a taus, and harbe rishonim many rishonim are cholik on this, that even in a case where he's not mechayiv himself b'mefurush, it's nevertheless considered to be that the achrayus is there if you assume achrayus tal sofer, and they're arguing whether achrayus is a din of his chayvus of the mocher, and therefore he has to be mechayiv himself b'mefurush, he has to explicitly be mechayiv himself, or maybe achrayus is just a din that's meigra a din, it has nothing to do with his chayvus of the mocher, with him being mechayiv himself. It's just built into the nature of any shibud that's created, is that there's going to be achrayus nechassim. Any shibud that's created b'shtar, we assume that there's automatically going to be achrayus nechassim. But anyway, Rabbi Meir does not hold achrayus tal sofer. Di Rabbi Meir, hamar achrayus lav tal soferu. If our mission were going like Rabbi Meir does not agree with this. Rabbi Meir holds that achrayus is lav tal soferu, that there's no assumption of achrayus. The Tanan, because we learned Rabbi Meir holds in the Mishnah, matzah shtari chav. Let's say you find a shtar chov on the street. So it says, Ruven el Shimon, a lot of money. So what do you do? Im yesh ben achrayis nechassim, if there's achrayis nechassim, excuse me, written into that shtar, and it says that Ruven owes Shimon a lot of money, and it says that Ruven's nechassim are all meshubad to pay off that loan, so then lo yachzir shebezin nefrayin mehen, you cannot return such a shtar because bezin is going to go to the nechassim. So it could be that Reuven has since sold all those nechassim, and people are gonna, and bezin is now going to go and collect it from the lukuchos. And it could be that the Reuven doesn't owe the money anymore, and bezin is going to take it from the lukuchos unjustly now because of this. So you cannot return the shtar to Shimon because the Shimon is going to be able to collect with this in bezin, and it's going to be at the cost of those who purchased these properties. But ein ben achrayis nechassim, if there's no achrayis nechassim in it, yachzir shein bezin nefrayin mehen divrei Meir, then you might as well return it because bezin is not going to go to pay with it anyway. Bezin is not going to collect from lukuchos anyway with it. So then you can return the shtar to Shimon. That's where Rabbi Meir holds, because Rabbi Meir assumes that if it doesn't say achrayis nechassim in the shtar, bezin is not going to collect from lukuchos. But Rabbi Meir holds achrayis is not to'u sofer. If achrayis is there, it's there, and if it's not there, it's not there. But v'chachamim omrim echad zev echad zev lo yachzir. Bezin in front of man. Even if there's no achrayis nechassim written into the shtar, it's there, and Bezin's still going to collect from the lekuchos, and therefore you can never return such a shtar because Bezin may collect from lekuchos unjustly. This sugya of achrayis of returning a lost shtar is a sugya in Bamitzia, Daf Yud Beis, and it's a Mishnah in Bamitzia. And the Gemara over there explains that there's a fundamental problem with this Mishnah. There's a fundamental kasha one could ask. And the Mishnah and the Gemara has three ways of dealing that Amoraim deal with the fundamental problem. Problem is Mimanavshach. If we're talking about that the Lova is Moda, that he's Chayiv the money, you find the Shtar that says Reuven owes Shimon money. If Reuven admits, yeah, I do owe Shimon money, so why wouldn't you return the Shtar? If the collection from the Kuchos is done Kedin, the Lova himself is Moda, that he's Chayiv. He admits that he's Chayiv the money. And if you're talking about that the Lova is Makhish, and he says, no, I don't owe the money, so then why, when there's no chayis achrayis nechasim, would we return the shtar? The malva is going to be able to collect from nechasim lecharon, and this is in dispute. The lover says, I dropped it. I already paid it up, and I had the shtar. So the Gemara has a few terutzim over there. One suggestion is that we're talking about where the lova is moda, and you're only not allowed to return the shtar because there's a chashash that maybe the lova wanted to be lova benisan, and it didn't happen until Tishrei afterwards. So there's a chashash that you're going to collect from the kucha shalokadin because of, it's not that he doesn't owe the money. He does owe the money, but the shibud only started 6 months after it says it started in the shtar. And that's what we're choshesh. Now, in general, the shtar, we're not choshesh. That maybe what it says in the shtar isn't accurate. By a regular shtar, we don't have such a chashash, because the fact that this shtar was found on a street already is hura kocho. It already shows that there's a reyasa in such a shtar, so that's why we have a chashash that there's something wrong with it. So maybe the something that's wrong with it is the date on the shtar. Then Abaye suggests in the Gemara, now we're talking about a case where the lova is moda. The reason you're not allowed to return the shtar is because there's a chashash that maybe he already paid up the shtar. Why is he moda then that he didn't pay it up? Because he wants to make a, he's making a kanunya with the malva, he's making a trick with the malva, that he says to the malva, listen, I know that I already paid it up, but if you get this shtar back, you'll be able to collect from the lakuchos. So you'll be able to collect from the people that have purchased my property. I'll split it with you. I'll let you get the shtar back, you collect from the lakuchos, and we'll split the we'll split whatever you're able to collect from the lakuchos. And that's the chashash over here. Shmuel suggests that the case is no, the lova is not mod over here. And the reason you're allowed to return the shtar, according to our mayor, if it doesn't say achrayis nechasim, is because there's no chashash you can collect from bnei chorin, because according to Shmuel, shitas our mayor is that a shtar that doesn't have achrayis nechasim, you can't collect from nechasim bnei chorin, nor from nechasim mishubadim. So there's no chashash of gvir, you're not going to be able to do anything with the shtar anyway. So that's how the amoraim in Maseches Bamatzia deal with this. But the bottom line for us over here is Reisha Rabbi Meir v'Sefer Rabbi Yehuda, that the Reisha of our Mishnah that assumed that Ksub is a Tanai Beis Din, that's Shitas Rabbi Meir. The Sefer of our Mishnah that assumes that Achrayus Ta'u Sofer, that Achrayus is automatic, that a Shiba Nechasim is automatic, that's Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. So which is it? Is our Mishnah going like Rabbi Meir or Rabbi Yehuda? V'chitei Mekul Rabbi Meir, he v'shayne le Rabbi Meir ben Ksub l'shtari. And if you want to say that our whole Mishnah goes like Rabbi Meir, and it's just that Rabbi Meir agrees by a Ksuba that Achrayus is to so far. Is that really true? V'atanya, don't we learn in Brisa Chamisha Govan Mina Mechurarin? There are five collections that can only be made from Nechasim Mechurarin, not from Nechasim Mechurarin, not from Nechasim Meshubadim. There are only three. There are five things that you cannot collect from Nechasim Meshubadim. Ve'eluhen, and they are Peros Ushvach Peros. If a guy steals a field and sells it to someone else, and then you're motzi miyad al lekuchos, but the person who had bought the field had invested in it and had grown peros in it, so when he gets paid back those peros and the shvach peros, so he can only get from nechasim necharin. V'amakabel lav lozenes ben ishto ubas ishto, someone who accepts upon himself to support his wife's children, v'get chov shein ba achrayus, or a shtar chov that doesn't have achrayus, uksubas isha shein ba achrayus, or uksubas isha that it doesn't say achrayus in the ksuba. So you see that Rav Meir holds that even for Ksubas Isha, we assume that Achrayus is Tov Sofer, that Achrayus is Lav Tov Sofer. So Man Sham Le Domar Achrayus Lav Tov Sofer. Who? Rav Meir, who's the one that says that when there's no Achrayus written in the Shtar, it means that there's no Achrayus, we don't assume it's a Tov Sofer, it's Rav Meir, the Ketanik Ksubas Isha. And he says it even by a Ksuba, he doesn't just say it by other Shtaros. So we're back to our question. How can the Reisha of our mission, which assumes Ksubas Tanai Beis Din, go like Rabbi Meir, safe of the mission that assumes Achrayus Tov Sofer, go like Rabbi Yehuda? Iba Yisem Rabbi Meir, Viba Yisem Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara says it can go in either way. Iba Yisem Rabbi Yehuda, could be the whole mission is going like Rabbi Yehuda. What do you do about the Tanai Beis Din? Hasam Kasvaleis Kabalti, Hachalo Kasvaleis Kabalti. That if she wrote his Kabalti, then it's okay according to Rabbi Yehuda. You know, he's not going to be Chayiv Masayim Zuz if he wrote her Masayim Zuz and she says, I got 100. But if he writes the Ksuba Meikara to not have Masayim Zuz, to only have 100, that's no good. Rabbi Yehuda would say that's no good. Iba Yisem Rameir, or the whole Mishnah is going like Rameir. My Chayiv Dekatani Minam Churarin. When it says in the end of the Mishnah that even if he doesn't write that he's Chayiv Masayim Zuz, he's still Chayiv to pay the full Masayim Zuz, it just means from the Chasim B'nei Chorin. It doesn't mean from the Chasim Meshubadim, because Achrayus is Lav Tov Sofer, and if there's no Achrayus, there's no Achrayus. So the whole thing could be gone like Rameir as well. Lo Kasavla Amar Rav Yehuda Shmuel. So now the last sugya on the daf discusses a case of a girl who's Netensa, and whether that makes her Asur Labayla or not. So Amar Rav Yehuda Shmuel, Eishes Yisrael Shenensa Asur Labayla. An Eishes Yisrael that's Netensa becomes Asur to her husband. An unbelievable chashash that we're worried that maybe toward the end of the act of Bia, she was already Baratzon. She was already interested in the Bia. Tosos wonders about Avodah Shmuel, that he says, according to Avodah Shmuel, how is Esther Malka Muteras to Mordechai, even though she was Tachas Yad HaShverosh Ba'onas? Shouldn't we be Choshesh that it was Sofa Baratzon? So first of all, how Tosos knows that she was Muteras to Mordechai? So he quotes the Gemara Megillah that she was Tovela, she would be Yotzei Mechika HaShverosh, Tovelas, and then Yosheves Bechik Mordechai. So the Gemara seems to say that way, that she was Muteras to Mordechai until she had to go in, Kasher Avadti, until she had to go in on her own. But why don't we assume Tchilas Abones, Visofa Baratzon? So Tulsa suggests Esther Malka is different because she was Sadekas Gemura, and there's no Cheshash that Visofa Baratzon. The Rashba quotes another Yishuv based on the Gemara that Shvuya Malchus Achashverosh have a din of Ones and are Mutaros Baaleim. And the reason is, Rashba says, because Achashverosh was a Melech Gadol and they knew that he was never going to marry them, and therefore they're an Ones Gomer. So the Rashba says Esther Malka, even though the Achashverosh gave her a crown, but she never was Nisratza, because she always thought Achashverosh is going to divorce her and she's not going to end up living her whole life as a queen, and therefore there's never a sofa baratzon in that kind of relationship. So ask the Gemara, Esvei Rav Lavud Shmuel. Rav asks on Avud Shmuel, wait a second, doesn't it say in the Ksuba, Intish Tavai Aparkinech Vosvinich Lilinsu, that if you ever get held captive, I'm going to redeem you from captivity, and then I'll take you back as wife, I'm going to marry you. Well, I thought if there's a concern of sofa baratzon, you're never allowed to take her back as a wife. Ask the Gemara, Ishtik. He didn't have anything to respond to that. Kari Rav Aleid Avud Shmuel. So Rav said about Avud Shmuel, Sonar Matzur Milim Vakaf. Why didn't he answer? Why is he putting his hand on his mouth? What could he have answered? He could have answered there's a difference between a girl who's netnas versus a girl who's a shvuya, that it's a special kula for a shvuya. According to Avodah Shmuel, when's ever the case of the Torah where a girl gets netnas and the Torah says she's a mutaris to her husband? Where is that? If it's always a concern of sofa baratzon, answer Gemara, kugon dekamri edim shatzav. There's a concern with sofa baratzon unless you know better. If we have edim that said that she was screaming and crying from beginning to end, then we know it was not sofa baratzon. Opliga d'rav, and this is against Rav, Adam Rav, a culture of tichlas abonos sofa baratzon. Afilu amaris hinichlo shel mali niskakla hisokarto muteres. Even if she's screaming at the end, leave him alone, don't stop him, because I would have hired him to do this, I'm getting so much anah from it. Still, she's muteres lebaila, because all you need is tichlas abonos. My taima. Yetzer al b'sho. We assume that wasn't her sanity talking at the end. That was her Yetzer Hara talking that had kicked in. Tanya covered this question when we apply the svar of Yetzer Albusha. Is it only in this case or in other cases of Bia as well? Tanya covered say the Rava. Vihila, we have a price that says just like Rav. Vilo nitpasov, a girl wasn't raped, asura, she's also to her husband. Meaning if she did a baratzon, ha nitpasov mutaris, but if she was raped, then she's mutar to her husband. Viesh lacharish alfi shalom nitpasov mutaris. Sometimes a girl is not raped and she's still mutaris labaila. Vezuzu calls shat chlasa bonus for sofa baratzon. That's if it started up bonus and it ended up being baratzon. Tanya idach, another price. If she was raped, she'd be mutter. And there's a case of a girl that even if she's raped, she's asura. That would be an eshes kohen. If a girl is raped, she's mutaris labayla. If the kiddushin was in question to begin with, so maybe she's not really an eshes ish, then she could be mutaris even if she wasn't raped. Shafilu b'nam work of laksefa memenes v'lechsa. Even if she has a child from the marriage, she could still be memenes. Amar Rav Yehuda, hani nashi degan v'ganvi shayin l'guvrayu. We're out of time. Okay, we'll pick up from Amar Rav Yehuda Bez Hashem tomorrow. Okay.